This is Bigger Pockets Daily, and it's Friday. I'm Tyler, and the article I'm about to share comes from the Bigger Pockets blog. You can find a wealth of information on the site, or by searching Bigger Pockets in any podcast app. Maybe that's how you found this show. So let's get to it. Okay, almost time for the show. We'll get right into it after this quick break. Is there a new risk of a crash this year? Here's what pundits are warning about, by Paul Moore. Yep, many pundits are still warning about a recession in 2024. Here's one example. Richard Duncan did a MacroWatch fourth quarter update. He pointed out that between 1952 and 2009, all 9 times total credit adjusted for inflation grew by less than 2%, and the economy went into a recession. ITR Economics also predicts a recession in 2024 based on a few key indicators. They've been over 94% accurate 1 year out since 1985. Passive investing pro Jeremy Roll believes a 2024 recession is virtually certain. He believes we'll see job losses, consumer spending decreases, stock market decreases, most likely a crash, Federal Reserve rate cuts. It's very difficult to predict the amount and degree of Fed rate cuts, but typically recessions do cause the Fed to cut rates to help stimulate the economy. Based on past recessions, the amount of rate cuts that typically occur during the first 12 months once rate cuts begin is 100 to 125 BPS, with additional rate cuts thereafter. All right, but does the economy even matter when making investments? Buffett says no. Investing gurus Warren Buffett and the late Charlie Munger have insisted they never base an investment or divestment decision on the economy. They simply sought out solid, undervalued companies with durable products and great management teams. That's it. Though their record shows this is generally true, we know one time when they deviated from this principle. In 2008, Berkshire Hathaway invested $5 billion in Goldman Sachs. This was in September 2008, at the very heart of the financial crisis. But they didn't invest in common equity. They invested in preferred equity, and they made a small fortune from this investment. What are we up to? My firm has been saying for years that we do the same thing in every economy. When multifamily syndicators swung for the fences and hit it out of the park in the late teens and early 2020s, we were swinging for singles and doubles. We cheered them on while they made a small fortune for their investors. When multifamily syndicators swung for the fences and got into big trouble a little later in that cycle, remember that, we were still swinging for those same singles and doubles. But investing in preferred equity is our one exception. We're in an unusual window, offering asymmetric risk and return potential. We sincerely believe this is a rare and short window to lower investors' risk and lock in higher than usual projected returns with preferred equity. I have tons of posts at biggerpockets.com, and you can see why we love preferred equity. All right, so here's the takeaway with a big caveat. I'm going to recommend 3 assets for your consideration as we teeter on the verge of a potential recession. First up, stick with the basics. In general, I recommend investors do the same thing they would ideally do in a great or awful economy. Invest in recession-resistant assets acquired below their intrinsic value, often from mom-and-pop distressed operators and now managed by professional operators. As far as asset types, we like mobile home parks, RV parks, self-storage, industrial parks, and a whole lot more. And then look for built-in equity at acquisition. I also recommend acquiring unusual investments with significant built-in equity at initial acquisition. I'm borrowing from Jeremy Roll's playbook here. He taught us about this asset type. Recently, we invested in a tax-abated multifamily property. The operator negotiated a complex structure that provided 100% property tax abatement in a high property tax state. This asset was acquired for $80 million. The lender's appraisal at closing, with the tax abatement in place, was $113 million. The equity invested at closing was $26 million. This equity grew by $33 million, over 126%, on day one, according to the new appraisal. That was not a typo, by the way. That type of investment offers nice potential in any market. More importantly, in uncertain markets like these, it provides a wonderful margin of safety between net income and debt payment, long-term, fixed, and interest-only for years, by the way. This margin should be able to absorb financial and operational shocks, like insurance increases, flat rental rates, increased vacancy, and a whole lot more. But of course, there are no guarantees. Next up, we talk about invest in preferred equity. I am a big fan of this, you may have guessed, and I've discussed why in several posts at BiggerPockets.com. Here's the caveat I haven't often discussed. We have identified four types of preferred equity. Acquisition, we do this. Recapitalization of existing property, we do this too. Filling a gap behind new senior debt, providing liquidity without having to replace the senior debt. And then a couple other things. Development, which we haven't done and we don't really plan to, and rescue capital, we haven't done this either and only would in very special circumstances. Rescue capital, buying a rate cap, refilling debt service reserves, capital improvements to boost NOI with the hope of refinancing later. I could write a post on these four types, and maybe I will someday, but suffice it to say that not all preferred equity is created equal. For example, I don't recommend you get lured by the siren's song of rescue capital. Sure, it could work out okay, but remember that you're not looking for the highest returns. You're looking for the highest risk-adjusted returns. If you want high returns, why not just play the lottery? You can buy a ticket for a buck and win a billion, you know? And here are some final thoughts. If a 2024 recession materializes, you may find additional opportunities to buy distressed commercial and residential real estate assets. But don't count on it being a repeat of 2008. It's hard to imagine a scenario like that playing out again this time. As for us, we're not holding our breath for these big bargains to pan out in commercial real estate. With over $400 billion sitting on the sidelines, waiting to pounce on these assets, we doubt many of these opportunities will materialize. At least, not for most of us. And with that, let's wrap the week with a little Friday fun pop quiz, shall we? We shall. Do you know the fastest way to find the best funding for your strategy? Here's a hint. BiggerPockets has made it easier than ever. With LenderFinder, you can quickly find and compare investor-friendly lenders who specialize in your strategy in 2 minutes or less. Visit BiggerPockets.com/findmylender to find an investor-friendly lender for free. That's BiggerPockets.com/findmylender. Thanks for listening to this show and enjoy your weekend. Me? I'll be right back here tomorrow. Can't remember the last time I took a day off.